I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Bilbo Baggins finally becomes the burglar that Gandalf promised he would be. I'm not sure that's exactly great expectations on Gandalf's part, but who am I to argue with a wizard? I want to share a huge thank you with those of you who have provided some funds for the wishlist items I put up on buymeacoffee.com/LOTRpodcast. I have my eye on a particular shotgun microphone that I think would up the audio quality of this podcast and look a lot nicer for future video content I may do. If you would like to support my efforts, please visit my wishlist on buymeacoffee.com/LOTRpodcast or tap the link in the show notes. Now, let's wander. Let's check the map. It is the Third Age of Middle-earth. Bilbo Baggins, the Hobbit, is on a quest with dwarves to help them reclaim their homeland. They have narrowly escaped being eaten by large spiders, but are still lost in the dark forest of Mirkwood. Thorin, king of the dwarves, has already been captured by the woodland elves. Today we are covering Chapter 9 of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit, Beryls Out of Bond. The first theme I want to dive into is that of eucatastrophe. We recently explored this term in the episode about Tolkien's essay on fairy stories. Eucatastrophe is the sudden, joyous turn of events. Just when everything seems so dark and desperate, something unlooked for intervenes. Just when everything seems like a catastrophe, a, quote, sudden and miraculous grace comes to the rescue, although it is, quote, never to be counted on to recur. This chapter has at least three moments that I am going to call mini eucatastrophes. While not a full-on happy ending, these moments show the sudden, miraculous turn just when things seem darkest. The first is when the dwarves are captured by elves, the second when Bilbo finds Thorin, and the third when Bilbo barely escapes with the barrels. Mini Eucatastrophe number 1. This chapter opens with Bilbo and the dwarves, except Thorin, who was already captured, being lost in the forest after the battle with the spiders. They decide to make, quote, one last despairing effort to find a way out before they died of hunger and thirst. They have no idea where to go, and no idea on if they are going in the right direction. As the blackness of night overcomes them, they experience a sudden joyous turn, quote, suddenly out sprang the light of many torches all around them, like hundreds of red stars. Out leapt the wood elves. The elves, of course, capture the dwarves, although Bilbo is quick enough to slip on his ring and not be counted among the prisoners. The elements of eucatastrophe are here. The company is lost, Keter's on the edge of death, and is in total desperation. Night and darkness are falling. Suddenly, light comes forth and they are rescued, in a way. This capture by the elves is actually joyous. Quote, they were actually glad to be captured. Being captured by elves meant that they would be led out of the forest, that they were among decent folk who wouldn't eat them like trolls, goblins, or spiders, and they could have a little food, drink, and rest. Moving on to mini eucatastrophe number 2. This one revolves around Thorin, who was captured by the elves the night before the rest of the company was. At first, Bilbo doesn't know where Thorin is kept, until he overhears talk of another dwarf, quote, in a specially deep dark place. This dark place is not only literally low, but figuratively low, as Thorin has become desperate in his cell. Quote, Thorin was too wretched to be angry any longer at his misfortunes, and was even beginning to think of telling the king all about his treasure and his quest, which shows how low-spirited he had become. At this moment, Bilbo is able to find Thorin, and thus Thorin's spirits and resolve are rekindled, and Thorin is able to communicate with the rest of his company. Now, mini eucatastrophe number 3 involves little Bilbo himself. Bilbo has discovered the opportunity to escape, derived the plan, and executed the plan so that all the dwarves are floating in barrels down the river. But there's a problem, quote, of course, he was not in a barrel himself, nor was there anyone to pack him in, even if there had been a chance. Tolkien even allows himself the rare exclamation point for this sentence. Bilbo is downhearted. He doesn't want to be a, quote, permanent burglar in the elf caves forever, nor does he know another way out. While the elves sing a merry song, Bilbo doesn't know what to do. But, quote, now the very last barrel was being rolled to the doors. In despair and not knowing what else to do, poor little Bilbo caught hold of it and was pushed over the edge with it. He is lucky enough to keep hold of the barrel, even in the ice-cold water. There's no room to spare between the top of the barrel and the water gate, quote, not even for a hobbit, between its top and the suddenly stooping roof where the gate was. He's shivering and cold, wondering if, quote, he would die of it before the luck turned. His strength is wearing thin, and he's considering letting go of the barrel. But soon he is able to scramble to the top of his barrel and float down the river with the dwarves in their barrels. Again, we see in this tiny example the elements of desperation and being at the very end of strength when some unlooked-for good thing happens to help Bilbo along his way. Now, are these examples full-on you catastrophes in the sense that Tolkien described, quote, the joy of the happy ending? No. But in many ways, these examples share common elements with the sudden joyous turn, the sudden snatching away from utter darkness and destruction, back to the light and to hope. Let's wander into a bit of lore. The wine that the butler and the captain of the guard share is, quote, a heady vintage of the great gardens of Dorwinion. Apparently, it's pretty strong stuff, as both elves quickly get drunk and pass out, even though we're told, quote, it must be potent wine to make a wood elf drowsy. Which, by the way, sort of negates the comedy in the drinking game between Legolas and Gimli in the Return of the King Extended Edition movie. For those who haven't seen that, Gimli proposes a contest with Legolas to see who can drink the most. And while Gimli passes out and falls over, Legolas barely feels a slight tingle in his fingers. That scene simply ignores this major plot point from The Hobbit, that elves can and do get wasted, if the drink is strong enough. Anyway, the wine is from a place called Dorwinion. Luckily for Bilbo, quote, the wine of Dorwinion brings deep and pleasant dreams. So, where is Dorwinion? If you look at the maps that accompany both The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings books, you likely will not see Dorwinion labeled on the map. However, in Karen Wynne Funstad's Atlas of Middle-earth, you'll see a label for Dorwinion far, far in the east. There's the Sea of Rune, which is labeled on most maps of Middle-earth. In the Atlas, Dorwinion is the land on the northwest corner of that sea. Which makes a lot of sense why the elves would be sending the wine barrels down the river. The stream that flows under the elves' cave meets with the Forest River, which runs out to the Long Lake, where Lake Town is, then keeps flowing in the river called Kelduin, or River Running, which empties out in the Sea of Rune. Dorwinion sits on the south side of that river, just before its delta at the Great Eastern Sea. There, the people of Dorwinion would gather the wine barrels and start the trade cycle all over again. And if you know a little about Tolkien's languages, the word Dor actually means land of. For example, Mordor is land of darkness, Dor meaning land of, and Mor meaning dark. So if we break down Dorwinion, we get Dor and Winian. And Winian looks and sounds an awful lot like the English word wine. So Dorwinion is translated as the land of wines. We don't get a lot of details on the geography or climate of Dorwinion, but I imagine if it is the land of wine, it's likely a climate like California or Italy with plenty of wineries. Why spend all this time on a tiny little detail of the land where the wine comes from? Well, if you remember, at the end of Amazon's Rings of Power Season 1, Nori and the Stranger embark on an adventure into the east, to the land of Rune. It's possible that when we pick up with them in Season 2, which as of this recording is still in production and doesn't even have a release date yet, but possibly we'll see Nori and the Stranger wander into the land of wines. If so, you can connect their journey to the rest of Middle-earth. I have one more theme from this chapter to investigate with you. We'll get to that right after this short break. We're not done yet. If you like this episode, please leave a review and share with your friends. And remember to subscribe if you haven't already. We'll be right back. The countdown is on. Holiday shopping season is officially here. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. I discovered their literary clock, which tells time using quotes from classic books. Thousands of options, one for every minute. It's clever, personal, and perfect for the book lover in your life. And because my family always breaks out board games during the holidays, I ordered a wooden code breaker game and a murder mystery jigsaw puzzle. Can't wait to solve that one together. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. When you shop, you're supporting small, independent artists and makers. And with every purchase, they donate $1 to a nonprofit partner. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/LOTRPOD. That's uncommongoods.com/LOTRPOD for 15% off. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Parents, here's a gift idea that doesn't require batteries, screens, or endless assembly on Christmas morning. It's called the Dadventures Deck, a deck of silly adventures and unexpected twists for you and your kids. Pull one card and suddenly you're on a superhero bike ride or turning the backyard into a treasure island. My daughter still talks about the memories we've made from this deck. I've only got about 20 of these decks left, and once they're gone, they're gone. So if you want a simple way to spark memories with your kids this holiday season, go to ringspodcast.com/deck. Again, that's ringspodcast.com/deck. Start making more epic memories with your children today. This is the first chapter in The Hobbit, where the narrative patterns that we've gotten used to start to change, and it culminates in Gandalf's prediction coming true. This is the first chapter where we are not introduced to a new creature, particularly a creature who is confused by a hobbit and wants to eat Bilbo. We've been introduced to hobbits and dwarves, trolls and goblins, Elrond and Gollum, even wargs, eagles, and spiders. But in this chapter, we see a creature that we've seen before, elves. Although these are a little different than the elves we've seen before, as we explored two episodes back. But here's the interesting narrative shift. Instead of a creature that tries to eat Bilbo, Bilbo finally succeeds in stealing food from one of these fantasy creatures. Quote, "Inside the caves, he could pick up a living of some sort by stealing food from store or table when no one was at hand." Besides that, these elves also have plenty of songs. Like when the goblins captured the dwarves, the elves also, quote, "sang as they marched their prisoners into their realm." They also sang an interesting song when pushing the barrels down the chute. By the way, I used the phrase that the elves sing, "down the swift dark stream you go, back to lands you once did know," as a text-to-art input on an AI art generator. Check out Lore of the Rings podcast on Instagram if you want to see that art. But unlike the goblins, the elves' caves are different. Quote, "These were not like those of the goblin cities. They were smaller, less deep underground, and filled with a cleaner air." Also, Bilbo's character arc is really rising now. He no longer is that grocer standing on the mat that Thorin took him for in the Shire all those months ago. Since his finding of the ring, and his subsequent killing of the spider on his own in the forest, Bilbo has started to be a real independent and proactive problem solver. Indeed, almost the only one in the whole party of dwarves. Quote, "If anything was to be done, it would have to be done by Mr. Baggins, alone and unaided." Bilbo has even consigned himself to his hired role of burglar. Quote, "I am like a burglar that can't get away, but must go on miserably burglarizing the same house day after day," he thought. "This is the dreariest and dullest part of all this wretched, tiresome, uncomfortable adventure." The theme of uncomfort makes another appearance. And as Bilbo is breaking the dwarves out of prison, we learn that the dwarves, quote, "all trusted Bilbo. Just what Gandalf had said would happen, you see. Perhaps that was part of his reason for going off and leaving them." Gandalf made that prediction all the way back in Chapter 1. Quote, "If I say he is a burglar he is, or will be when the time comes. There is a lot more in him than you guess, and a deal more than he has any idea of himself. You may possibly all live to thank me yet." Bilbo has fully endorsed his role of burglar. After the barrel escape, Bilbo helps himself to some food from the people on the river. Quote, he no longer thought twice about picking up a supper uninvited if he got the chance. And the reason for this makes so much sense for a hobbit. Quote, he knew now only too well what it was to be really hungry, not merely politely interested in the dainties of a well-filled larder. For a hobbit to be truly hungry, and not simply curious about a pantry, is totally unexpected. And isn't that the whole point of this story? Next time, we dive into this chapter's on-screen adaptation in Peter Jackson's The Hobbit, and the start of what I think is the most abominable storyline that the films introduced. Thanks for wandering Middle-earth with me today. My friends, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing with your friends. Follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Lore of the Rings Podcast. For feedback on the show, please email me using the link in the show notes. Until next Thursday, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have, or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
Parents, here's a gift idea that doesn't require batteries, screens, or endless assembly on Christmas morning. It's called the Dadventures Deck, a deck of silly adventures and unexpected twists for you and your kids. Pull one card and suddenly you're on a superhero bike ride or turning the backyard into a treasure island. My daughter still talks about the memories we've made from this deck. I've only got about 20 of these decks left, and once they're gone, they're gone. So if you want a simple way to spark memories with your kids this holiday season, go to ringspodcast.com/deck. Again, that's ringspodcast.com/deck. Start making more epic memories with your children today.